the Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 17th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Domestic violence and gun violence prevention advocates are urging the Illinois General Assembly to pass a bill to strengthen state laws protecting people who file restraining orders.
Proposed law is named for domestic violence victim Karina Gonzalez, who was shot and killed by her husband. The measure would require law enforcement officers to quickly remove guns from people who have orders of protection against them. Amanda Piron, executive director with the network, says Karina's bill would close numerous loopholes in the current law.
Karina's bill will clarify and strengthen the law to give law enforcement a clear directive to remove the firearm from the home when an order of protection is granted with the firearm remedy by a judge. So this isn't something that survivors can do on their own.
Gonzalez and her 15-year-old daughter were shot and killed shortly after obtaining a restraining order in July against her husband, Jose Alvarez. Backers are asking legislators to pass the bill during the year-end session, which begins October 24th. Gun rights advocates oppose it, claiming it violates the Second Amendment. Mark Richardson reporting.
Alvarez was charged with first-degree murder and is being held without bail. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan said Monday she will impose a limited gag order on former President Donald Trump in advance of his election interference trial, as requested by the prosecution. That for the Washington Post. The gag order will prohibit all parties from statements publicly targeting Special Counsel Jack Smith, his staff, her staff, or any other court personnel. And statements about those families absolutely prohibited as well. The Post notes even before the order was issued, Trump's lawyer John Lauro said they would appeal, saying it would affect important free speech principles, particularly for a leading candidate for president. Next to Ohio, where community advocates are evaluating how funds from the One Ohio Plan should be used.
The One Ohio Plan utilizes the $2 billion awarded to the state from the 2021 opioid settlement. This funding is what created the One Ohio Foundation, which will develop short and long-term plans to help local communities continue combating the opioid crisis. Dylan Armstrong with the Center for Community Solutions describes some potential uses for these funds.
Things such as expanding the availability of treatment for individuals affected by substance use disorders, promoting evidence-based substance use prevention strategies, different type of avoidance and awareness education regarding substance use, and then working to decrease the oversupply of, the illicit opioids in the state.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
According to Harm Reduction Ohio, in 2020, there were about 5,000 drug overdose deaths in the state. This is Public News Service. The group Alabama Possible is working to make higher education more accessible for students in the state. More on that now from our Shantia Hudson.
Through their annual campaign, Alabama Goes to College, they are raising awareness about available resources to help finance college education. The group's executive director, Chandra Scott, says in an effort to remove financial barriers, they are also promoting Alabama College Application Week. This week, more than 60 colleges in the state are waiving application fees through this Friday.
That $35 or $50 application fee could be the difference between a light bill, someone's medication. You just never know. And so we want to make sure that we always think about how to open up access for all students.
Scott highlights that Alabama ranks as the sixth poorest state in the nation, underscoring the urgent need for financial assistance in college access. Shantia Hudson reporting.
According to the National College Attainment Network, students in the class of 2021 who didn't apply for federal student aid left almost $4 billion in Pell Grants on the table. A Texas math professor who studies redistricting is not surprised a nonpartisan elections watchdog group has given the state's redistricting process a grade of D-.
Andrea Barrero with Southern Methodist University says findings by Common Cause parallel her own that show lawmakers' clear bias toward Republicans. For the project, Mathematics for Unbiased Maps, SMU researchers created 1.5 million possible redistricting maps. Barrero says the map approved by lawmakers was far beyond her group's most extremely biased map.
The process was not really very responsive to constituents, as far as I could tell. It did not really seem that what the public was saying about the maps really had much impact on the decision-making process.
Multiple cases are proceeding through the federal courts challenging the new Texas congressional maps as racially discriminatory. I'm Roz Brown.
Finally, Tramell Gomes lets us know a vibrant installation at today's Shine St. Petersburg Mural Festival, designed to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act, at the same time spreading awareness about the listed small-toothed sawfish.
Imagine a fish with the back end of a shark, the midsection flattened and broad like a stingray, and the front looking like a gnarly hedge trimmer in your garage. That's what a small-toothed sawfish looks like. Kelly Quinn with Canvas of the Wild illustrated the little-known species found in Florida's coastal waters.
Bringing this realistic aspect, something really colorful, really fun, into the environment, but then also having that touch point of education.
Quinn's mural will be featured during the Shine Festival, which runs all this week in St. Pete.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.